Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Time now for the latest news with Shamita Basu.
Hi, Brian. Let's start by checking in on the status of ongoing hurricane recovery efforts in Puerto Rico. Today is the 56th day since Hurricane Maria hit the island. And as you might have heard, WNYC producer Alana Casanova Burgess is there now. This is her second week of a four-week reporting trip. Hi, Alana. Are you on the line with us?
I am. Hi.
Hi. So good to hear you. And I also hear that you're being really careful to conserve power right now because a lot of the island is experiencing a blackout. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I'm in San Juan in an area called Rio Piedras, and power went out maybe a little less than an hour ago, which basically means that San Juan, because I've seen that this is a pretty widespread power outage in the city, San Juan is joining most of the rest of the island in not having electricity. So this is another big blackout.
There was one last week, right?
Yeah, there was another one last week. And apparently this is the same power line that went out last week. It's the one from Cambaleche to Manatee, I'm told. And so, yeah, everyone's just sort of powering down and trying to keep cool.
I see that Governor Rosello testified before Congress yesterday, including about restoration of power. Did anything he say there make news in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, and actually, given today's power outage in San Juan, it's especially salient. So apparently today, the goal was 50% electricity generation, and that's important. Generation, not delivery to households or people. So that was the goal, and yesterday he was asked in Congress about how much of the island has power, and he said 49%, which is not true. And so everybody here knows that's not true. What that means is that the electricity generation is at 49% of what it was before the storm. But if it can't get to people's homes through cables that are downed everywhere, then it doesn't really matter how much electricity you're generating. Do you get what I mean, the distinction there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he testified with that figure in Congress, and people noticed that. And obviously, there are some other numbers as well, you know, that 90% of people here have water. But that's also tricky because you have to boil the water, and also it comes and goes. You know, people I've spoken to have water one day, and then they might not have it for 2 weeks, and then it comes back for a few hours. So that's how people are living. That 90% number, I don't really understand how that could be an official figure, because speaking to people here on the ground, that's just not the reality.
And Alana, you've been reporting in the field since you were there. You checked in with us last week, your first week. What have you been seeing outside of San Juan? I know you traveled outside of the city area.
Yeah, I've been to Adjuntas, which some of our listeners will know is a small town in the mountains near Ponce in the south, a small community. I've also been to Ciales, which is also in the mountains in the north. I just got back from two nights in Isabela, which is this coastal town in the west. It's really lovely there, but no electricity in any of those places. Only Isabela had water, and again, that sort of touch and go.
And how was it getting around, Alana? Were you able to get around pretty easily, or I mean, what are the conditions of the roads like?
The highways are fine. I did go on some side roads in Adjuntas, and they were really horrible. And this is the kind of mountainside community that people have been talking about being really difficult to reach. And I can confirm that that is true. You know, roads that where only one lane is open because there's been a mudslide that knocks out half of it, or downed cables, you know, these electric poles being propped up by a tree that's also down. Mm. It's not a good situation. And people live on these roads, and you can see how difficult it is to restore power. But again, there's a lot of concern here, a lot of discussion that the government's just not being transparent with what the situation is.
I also see that there's news that the U.S. military is now pulling out of Puerto Rico. Can you confirm that? And would it seem to people there that that's premature, or that recovery can continue without the military per se at this point?
Well, the only thing I've seen is a CNN report that this was a decision that was made by the Puerto Rican governor, Ricardo Rosselló, FEMA, the Department of Defense. They said, you know, the role here of the federal military is over, and that reservists and the National Guard is going to take over. People I've spoken to are always really quick to point out to me almost immediately anywhere I go that they're really grateful for any help from the mainland. And that's even if, you know, and then I follow up, oh, what kind of help have you gotten? And even if they haven't received anything, they still say, thank you so much for coming here and helping out other people, you know, even if I haven't seen them myself. So that's what I'm hearing on the ground about that kind of aid.
What about any connections to the New York, New Jersey area? Anything you're learning there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have connections, obviously. There's a figure that around 150,000 people or so have left already for the mainland. Not all of those are obviously going to the New York area. But yesterday I was in Isabela, this coastal town, and I was in the main square, and I saw a few people playing dominoes. And they basically said, you know, they're trying not to think about how hard everything is because it'll drive them crazy and stress them out. But I spoke with Rafael Rivera. He has family in Newark who have tried to convince him to join them in Newark. And so I asked him if he was considering it.
Allá está malo también. La situación allá, la gente está muy cara. Imagínate, ¿cómo se puede vivir allá? No me quiero ir. Allí morirá.
He's saying things are bad there in New York as well. The rent is very expensive. How can one live there? I don't want to leave, and here's where I'll die. Mm. So then, Shumita and Brian, I was actually able to get in touch with his son, Luis Rivera, in Newark. I called him when I was with Rafael. He didn't pick up, but later on when I was stuck in traffic, I got a call from him.
He didn't kind of want to come here, and I couldn't understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's old school, you know, he's
right.
One of those old timers that, you know what I mean? He's, you know, I don't know. He's just one of those old timers because I've heard that about 140,000 Puerto Ricans have left the island already to Florida, a lot of them to other parts of the United States, and they continue leaving the island.
So, yeah, that's one connection I was able to really get some insight into yesterday. And Luis said that he hasn't been able to get reliable news from Isabela and that reports from other parts of the island have been really worrying him. So, yeah, we talked for a while.
What a horrible dilemma for so many people to stay or to go with the challenges of each decision. And there's another local connection, a solar power project based in the Rockaways, I see.
Yeah. I'm reporting on solar power here in Puerto Rico, so I'll have more on that in a few days. But in the meantime, let me tell you about this local connection. So Resilient Power Puerto Rico is a project co-founded by Walter Mayer. He's a landscape architect who lives in Brooklyn, and he started a similar project after Hurricane Sandy in the Rockaways, which is another community he has ties to. So on Monday, his team was checking on these 2,000 solar panels that arrived in Aguadilla, which is close to Isabela. And that's going to be used to power up community centers. So his goal is 100 towns in 100 days. And this is based on a model that they used in the Rockaways to power up community centers so that people could come, charge their phones, use some electricity for a while. So here's a bit of him from this week, from Monday. And you're going to hear something that you hear a lot in Puerto Rico, which is the slight hum of a generator in the background, because that's just what Puerto Rico sounds like right now. So here it is.
There is something that connects people when they live at the edge of civilization. And Rockaway Beach is, for New York City, you know, the Puerto Rico. I would say what happened here in Puerto Rico happened twice as fast and twice as much because of the scale. The problem was 3.4 million in Puerto Rico versus 120,000 people in Rockaway Beach.
So, yeah, there's a lot happening here with a lot of New York, New Jersey connections.
Alana, thanks for checking in with us. And I know you've been tweeting as actively as possible, especially when you do have access to things like Wi-Fi and power. Tell people how they can follow along.
Sure. I'm at Alana Llama, or at Alana Llama. That's A-L-A-N-A-L-L-A-M-A. And so you can see photos. I've been posting stories from different people. So, yeah, give me a follow.
That's Alana Casanova Burgess. She's a producer with On the Media, and for the month, she's spending this time reporting from Puerto Rico. Alana, thank you for checking in. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Thank you. I'm going to power down.
Yes, please do. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye now.